Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st Century Talk for a No Bullshit World, because it's all about keeping it real, right, Troy?
That's right, keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Troy Titus Adams in the studio today. Love having you in on Mondays, Troy, Movie Mondays.
I love being here on Movie Mondays.
Yeah, we have a good time. We're going to be reviewing The Judge.
The Judge with The Roberts.
You got that, The Roberts, Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, that was, we're going to talk about that. We'll get to that in a minute. You know, we talked a little bit of news first, but yeah, so another glorious day here in sunny California. Hope you guys are enjoying your holiday. Happy Columbus Day to all, right? Right, Troy?
Yes.
We're going to talk about this holiday.
A little controversial.
Yeah, what does it mean to be a holiday now?
Mm-hmm.
And holidays nowadays, you know, they just make them up.
Yeah, they do. Although this, apparently it's not celebrated in all states.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, there are some states that don't celebrate it.
How about that?
So, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that. The first state to celebrate it was Colorado in 1906. Yeah, I don't know if
it's been around a while.
It's been around a while. Actually, 1866, the Italian-Americans, that's me, back in New York City. They were celebrating back in New York City. So I think they beat it by like 40 years. 40 years prior, they started, and then it became a national holiday, federal holiday, in 1937. So I guess you're saying some states can choose to or not to. You know, my bank was open today.
Oh.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That didn't make sense, but there was definitely, well, let me rephrase that, or let me take that back. I think they were open today because I went over there to get money out of the, everybody was inside, so unless they were having meetings, but I didn't try the door, but I definitely saw people inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's one of those holidays that you can celebrate if you choose.
You can open if you choose. I'm not sure. Post office, I believe, is closed. A lot of stores are open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you want to check out, well, we're going to come right back to Columbus Day because we're going to talk about that as one of our stories. But we had a really cool band. Kids on McAdam was in here Friday. Oh, that was really fun, Troy.
Yeah.
They're really cool. I love this lead singer. So if you guys want to check it out in the archives, right, latalkradio.com/Tola Talks. Or my website, richtola.com. Or all over the place. You know, we're with the Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, so
yeah,
check that out too.
Check it out. Yeah, at Rich Tola. But let's talk about Columbus Day, because Columbus Day celebrates the anniversary of Christopher Columbus's arrival to the Americas. Let me kind of talk about on October 12, 1492, but he didn't arrive in America.
Where did he arrive?
Did he arrive? Well, they claim that he arrived in the Caribbean, which is what was split really between Haiti and Dominican Republic.
Right.
That's what they say. I mean, I know he eventually did make it to the Americas, but in the United States, it's called Columbus Day.
He didn't discover anything, though.
No, he didn't discover anything.
Although we're taught that, right?
We are we're taught a lot of things. We're also taught that there is a Santa Claus, right?
There is a Santa Claus.
There is a Santa Claus.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
Well, there definitely was a Christopher Columbus. He was born in Genoa, Italy. I know that. The Italian Riviera. I've been there.
Mm. Yeah, I've been to Genoa as well.
Yeah, big fishing town. And Latin American countries call it Dia de la Raza, Day of the Race. I kind of like that. Italy, they call it Festa Nacional de Christopher Columbus. I mean, it's called different things in different places. The only problem is, like Troy said, he didn't discover anything. That's interesting because these Caribbeans, the natives, they were used to hosting strange arrivals from all over the Americas. So even when he got there, it's not like he was new there, right?
No.
Tell you what, though, this guy, I mean, you got to give him credit. Passionate, brave, stubborn, tenacious. Got the funding. I know what it's like to get funding. Wow. It's pretty challenging no matter what the hell you're trying to raise money for. But the king and queen of Spain finally caved and gave him some money. But, you know, all those thoughts are, you know, things talking about ancient Greek. He proved, there's like talk that he wouldn't make it. The world was flat, round. He proved that. That's all bullshit, too.
Yeah. He didn't fall off the edge.
No.
Basically.
No. But the ancient Greeks proved that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, but...
So what did this guy do? I mean, what he didn't know, let's put it this way, this guy didn't know that his voyage would spread diseases, which it did. He also took slaves and cotton back for display and to work on these conquered lands.
Yeah, it's a little bit controversial.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, I know it has historical impact. There's no doubt his voyages...
But it's yes, it has an historical impact, but why are we celebrating it as a holiday?
Well, we've been doing so for many. Right, so they're not going to get rid of a holiday.
They need to change it into, they could change it into something else. But also, I know that the Italian Americans would probably be up in arms about something that, because I think they consider it, you know, their holiday. And so they would feel that, you know.
Slight it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, it's well entrenched in our society. It really is. So it's a holiday that's well entrenched. I mean, teaching these kids what's not accurate seems a little. I mean, because I think about that. Okay, great. He sparked the great age of Atlantic exploration, right? Trade, colonization, everything. Yeah, he reshaped the world. He really did. I think that's really what we're honoring. But in terms of the kids learning the details, they're giving them it's all bullshit. It's not true.
Right.
Even the Nina and the Pinta, I heard that they weren't called that originally. The more you read, the more you realize that this is like what we've made. We've created this holiday.
It's all about interpretation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's open to interpretation.
Open to interpretation.
It is.
What we do know, he was a badass who had a lot of balls. That's what I know. Christopher Columbus.
Muchos cajones.
He does, or he did. He did. I mean, who the hell's getting on a boat in the middle? I mean, think about it. Yeah. 1492. I mean, you got to be pretty ballsy to even do that in the first place.
A real adventurer.
Real adventurer seeking the accolades and the money.
And the knowledge, you know.
True.
He basically said, well, no, I don't think the world is flat. And so I'm going to find another way, and I'm going to find another, you know, another clue to the puzzle of the world. And he did. So,
He did. He made a lot of trips. Yeah, he did. And by the way, folks, we're going to put this out there because we said we would. At any time you want to give us a phone call here, it's 818-602-4929. I'll say that again. You know, Troy, we're going to do that. We're just going to leave the phone lines open every day.
Oh, nice.
Let's do that. 818, that's a Valley number, 602-4929. If we see the phone ring, we're able to pick it up, we will.
Yeah, call in.
Call in. Yeah, we're kind of new at the call in biz. So if we get you, just you know, you are going to be live when we answer the phone. So if you do call in, and if you do call and we don't pick you up, no worries. We'll be doing this every day. It just means that we're in the middle of something, or maybe I didn't even see it. And I'm looking at the screen. You know, there's all these boards. Well, not too many, but there's a lot of equipment here. We have to look around and over.
You'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Figure it out, I'm sure. If they call, we'll jump on it. So. Well, if you're out there celebrating Columbus Day, we're going to talk about a little fitness and holidays later, Troy. But if you're celebrating, keep it real. But
do something productive today.
I like
that's
that.
That's what I say.
I like that.
Yeah, if you have the day off or what have you, do something productive.
Personally productive.
Yeah, make a discovery.
Ooh, I like that. Make a discovery.
Yes.
Do your own journey.
Yeah.
Journey into wherever the hell you want to journey into.
Well, like, I think it's rather apt. If we are going to have a Columbus Day, let's journey into a discovery of some sort.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. Yeah. Even if you want to take some time by yourself and go for that 5-mile walk. And discover,
Or have a massage. Discover some relaxation.
Yeah, look at you, Troy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Why don't you do
about?
The mani-pedi massage? Why don't you do the whole nine yards?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Going for that already?
Yes. Oh, it's Monday. Why not?
It's movie Monday. There you go.
Yes.
Go see a movie.
Yeah.
On a holiday.
Uh-huh.
That's a great thing to do.
Yeah. That's a good idea, actually, Richie Rich. I like that.
Yeah, I think you got to do that. If you haven't seen this already, we're going to talk about The Judge. But let's go to our second story here, calling the Snap, Crackle, and Hack.
Snap, Crackle, and Hack. I like that.
These hackers. They released, do you read about this? 100,000 photos and videos that were intercepted from Snapchat. And they said they've been collecting them for years. You guys know what Snapchat is?
I'm not really familiar with Snapchat, but all I do know is that the whole internet thing with all the negative stuff is very, very scary. You know, like having your identity, having your photographs. I mean, it's, yeah.
It's all sorts of scary shit. Look, check out this site. I mean, I did check it out. I'm not that familiar with Snapchat. I don't have it downloaded or an app or whatever it is. Man, the world today, these 13 to 17-year-olds, 50% of all Snapchat users are in that age range. I mean, they said that there was a huge trove of images, check this out, with child pornography that they found in this 100,000 pile. I mean, are you kidding me?
That hurts my heart. I'm sorry.
First of all, I got a thought about this, because all that's going on, right, whether it's the celebrities, the nude photos, everything is like a nude thing, the selfie, what's to stop a kid, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, yeah, whatever, 13-year-old, taking a picture of themselves, right, and posting it. And in Snapchat, it's supposed to delete itself, but that's child pornography that the individual's taking, the child's taking, correct?
Yeah, I mean... How do you stop something like that? You can only parent a child so much, and you have to make them aware of the dangers of doing things like that, because they're so naive at that age, and so they should be, because they're children. And in the day and age where everyone is taking a selfie, and I'm seeing more and more cleavage pictures on Facebook of family members who are in that age range. And I find it really scary, because these are not strangers to me. These are my cousins. These are my young cousins whose internet blueprint is out there. Now, when they get older and they see that, or whoever is seeing those, whoever is lifting those images, I mean, it's an open season for people to do negative things with it, for the pedophiles, which, you know, I have
it's messed up.
It's a very sensitive subject for me, that. And child pornography, we're just being exposed to more and more of it. It's been going on for time immemorial, yes, but now there's so much more access for everyone, and so much more access for children to just take these selfies and put themselves on these things, you know?
It's like self-inflicted pornography.
Yes.
This is what's the strange thing to me.
Well, that's the...
How do you prevent that? You can't prevent that.
I don't think
there's any way you can prevent that. If a child at whatever age, I mean, come on. I was playing Spin the Bottle in the Woods at 12 years old. I mean, I know the program.
Excuse me. What? I hope Rosie Rowe is not listening to this.
She knows. I was down at the woods. Come on. Back in the day.
I'm so sorry, Rosie Rowe.
Oh, please. Spin the Bottle, and I don't even know. In the base, it was like other things. I forget. Post office. That's right. Post office. Remember that one?
No.
I don't even know how that one worked, but you had to fill that thing, post anyone, you have to go make out with somebody. I used to do that. Come on, Troy.
Oh, dear.
And you were like a good goody two
shoes.
Well,
no, I did play Doctor and Nurses.
Well, Doctor and Nurses, how old were you? You used to play that too. Imagine now they're doing Doctor and Nurses taking pictures.
Yeah, but yeah.
Now, the pictures thing, that where we are today, it wasn't like that.
No,
pictures.
Of course not, because we didn't all have smartphones. No. So everything was private, you know? And I think that that's where our innocence, where the children's innocence is being lost. Because we have a whole generation who are growing up who don't know about not having a smartphone, or don't know about not taking selfies.
This is where privileges can be detrimental. I think the privilege of all these phones. I mean, look at this. These hackers access, there's 13 gigabytes of private libraries. And Snapchat says, well, they're denying that anything was ever compromised. They said Snapchat, the service was ever compromised. But they also say it wasn't their first breach for Snapchat. Because look what we're talking about. If somebody wants to get in there, they could figure out how to get in there. Even though these photos disappear, they're on your phone. Come on. And the kids of 13, 14, 15 years old, what are they going to do? They got these phones. They got pornography now on their phones. And sooner or later, someone's going to be hacked. This company's valued, by the way, Snapchat's valued at $10 billion with a B. 24-year-old developer. He's going to start putting ads on there soon. They don't really make any money. That's $10 billion seems like insane. But guess what? You know, there's another billionaire created something that I don't really see. I guess, see, these photos delete. So if you're trying to censor, but it's really specifically...
Yeah, but
think
who?
About it.
Okay, so how do you monitor this self-deleting mechanism? You know,
I don't know. All I know is it's another app that allows people to get funky with pictures, and yeah, they're deleted, but they're still out there to the universe. So, The bigger challenge is getting to the kids at a younger age and getting them to understand that, hey, there's problems with that. Because these photos, you're right, it's the pedophiles that, it has a domino effect to it. It does. Yeah. Everything has a domino effect. It's like you drop a pebble in the water, it doesn't just end there.
Yeah, the theory of chaos.
Chaos theory. Mm-hmm. Ooh, well, that's from a different movie, Beautiful Mind. Remember that? I just go to the movie. Well, let's go to another story. This one actually is sad but true, or maybe strange but true, but it does have a happy ending. I'm calling the Strawberry Fields for Betty. This is a little girl, Betty Jean Fields. Cool name.
Lovely name. Lovely name. I really do like that.
10-month-old Louisiana girl. She survived 3 days being trapped under her 43-year-old father, Jason Fields, who was found dead. The guy who was on the bed, he fell back on top of this little girl. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
They found her.
She must have found an air pocket somewhere within his body.
It's strange here because, she was dehydrated, blistering skin, but she's expected to make a full recovery, and this guy fell on her. They said he died right away. They said they think he just
had a heart attack
or something, just collapsed, died. He was sitting on the side of his bed, died instantly when he fell back. The house had no air conditioning. It was over 100 degrees when they found it, but there was a 5-year-old boy. Her brother was 5 years old. He went over to the house next door after 3 days to say he thought his dad was dead.
Wow.
Little boy. He didn't have any injuries, but they're saying, how the heck this kid survive for 3 days?
Well, hopefully there was some water in the refrigerator, and, you know.
Ate all the Rice Krispies?
Yeah, well, he'll survive
Snap,
on water.
Snap, crack, one pop. One water, that's for sure. The mom was in jail on misdemeanor charges, but the good news is they released the mom to take care of the son and the daughter. So it's kind of a happy ending with that. I mean, a little girl could have been. That's scary.
That is scary. And she's 10 months old, which means she won't remember it.
No, you know, she's not going to remember that.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. Little boy might. Five-year-old?
He may. He'll remember something.
You might think of it as like, it was like joyriding in the house for 3 days.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well.
But I'm glad it had a happy ending. I'm glad. I really am.
Betty.
Yeah.
Jean.
Betty Jean Fields.
Yeah. What a great name.
Mm.
Cool. Good news. All right. Next one. The BBD.
BBD?
This is actually a chapter in my memoir. It's called The Bigger, Better Deal.
I like that.
Mm. Yeah, my memoir references men and women, I think. But in this one...
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But we're referencing the Chinese government here. Check it out. We're very familiar with Universal Studios, right, Troy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was up there the other night, actually.
Oh, yeah. Did you go to John Lovitz's, or where'd you go?
I went to Howl on the Moon.
Howl on the Moon, yeah. Another cool spot.
Yeah, yeah. The dueling pianists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've been there. It's nice. It's, well, everybody knows the music theme park, right? Well, they're opening one in Beijing. It's going to be a suburb of the capital. It's going to be on a 300-acre site. This is huge.
300 acres.
And they don't mess around over there.
No, they don't.
China,
they don't.
They go big.
Yeah, they do. They big. Do everything much better than the Americans. That's their challenge, right?
Better, you mean more quality? We're going quality?
Well, I just think that, you know, if you look at the Olympics, it was like, how can we outdo the world? You know, I mean, that was intense. Everything that they do. So they see what America has done, and now let's try and, you know, make it bigger and better.
Bigger and better.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's bigger and better.
No.
But they at least, that's what they're going for.
Well, it's the biggest one that Universal's ever done. It's going to open in 2019, okay? And I like this. It's going to incorporate the strong Chinese elements and pay homage to the culture in China.
Nice. Good.
Yeah, I think that's important.
That's good.
Yeah, they're talking
about... I mean, the Chinese have contributed a lot cinematically wise, you know.
Of course.
A lot of good films, a lot of good filmmakers, a lot of good Chinese talent. So, yeah, why not?
Why not? And they're just getting bigger and bigger. Wanda Group, we'll talk about that. I mean, we know what's going on over there. But this entertainment complex is going to have retail dining. It's going to be the first ever Universal-themed resort hotel. It should be interesting.
Yeah.
So they got the one in Orlando, Hollywood, Beijing. They have three in, it'll be the third one. They have one in Singapore and Osaka. So that's kind of cool. And who are the competitors? We know who else is out there. Shanghai is Disneyland, right?
That's
it's the first Disney park. That's set to open in the city's Pudong district at the end of next year. So Disneyland is coming. And DreamWorks has got one. They unveiled a design for $2.4 billion entertainment company. I mean, look at all these crazy billions of dollars. And then the Wanda Group, the biggest real estate company, world's largest cinema chain owner. Okay? They're going to build 200 children-themed parks by 2020. It's like China's blowing up.
Well, they lifted that one-child rule, didn't they?
Oh, that was a while ago.
So since they lifted that, they're probably expecting more children to be born and, you know.
It's a strong market.
Children
Let's
making
go to
more
China.
Money.
Anybody mm-hmm. listening, give me a shout. Tola Talks China.
Yeah.
Let's do I'd love to. That'd be really cool. Like I said, I spent some time in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Malaysia.
Right.
That was cool. Well,
I'd like to go to the Great Wall, personally.
I would like to walk the Great Wall.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Let's plan on that.
Yeah, we should.
One day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think you have to do that.
I think so too.
Things, not necessarily for your bucket list, but things that you want to do, you have to put them with plans out there and put it out in the universe.
It takes time to make it happen, but it happens.
Yeah. Maybe 2017.
Yeah, by then there'll be all these parks up there, give you something to do.
Yeah.
Feel like you're in the United States. No chance.
I don't like going on vacations where I feel like I'm in the place that I live in.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. No, I need to experience culture. The culture and have to learn a few words of the language and, you know, experience the food. You know, I'm not one of these who's, oh my God, I need a English restaurant wherever I go. No, I hate that. I really despise that with a passion.
Well, I'm glad you probably won't find them anyway. English restaurant.
Well, see, the thing is, if you go to Spain and you're a Brit, they'll have, you know, egg and bacon, fish and chips along the Riviera. And I'm like, no, I've come to Spain to experience Spain. Not
because they want to experience the U.S., so that's what they're right.
So,
that's
you wild. Know, I'm like, you don't, no. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, the best is hanging out on the Champs-Élysées, just right down the way from the Eiffel Tower. Ooh.
Yeah.
The bread, and cheese, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Back in the day. Back in the day. Well, so much for the BBD. Let's go. Yeah, let's love that. Let's get your shit together today, right? We always do this every day. It's about getting your shit together in some part of your life because, hey, sometimes you need to, right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean a bad thing here. I mean, this guy, well, we give out an award every day because it's based on this 30-episode podcast I did, but this guy definitely should get his shit together. This is nothing major, but, you know, look what this guy did. He did it to Hillary Clinton. You guys hear about that? She was in San Diego speaking to a crowd of over 3,000 pediatricians. Yeah, it was the American Academy of Pediatrics. You know, a big event talking about promoting early literacy and improving early language development skills. And some jackass, I didn't get his name, some heckler, got up with a bullhorn. And she like was startled. It was like, but she was cool. Hillary regrouped and said a joke. She said, you know, some people who miss important development stages, like she kind of, this jackass. No, but here's a guy. Why does someone do that? I mean, that's something I'm going to ask. You got to stand up. You want to be noticed. You blow this bullhorn. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, people want to be heard. They want their voices to be heard. And they figure they can't send an email or a phone call to the office. So they need to make a spectacle. They also want it to be newsworthy, raise awareness to themselves and for their cause. But I think, you know, that's just rude. Because everyone is entitled to their opinion. And she is speaking to a group of people who have come to hear what she's got to say, specifically on, you know, early childhood development.
Their world. And right. Probably paid.
Right. So if you're not in that group of people, you know, wanting to hear about early childhood development, then you shouldn't be there. You know, and you don't use a bullhorn. I mean, I can't think it's anybody who's into pediatrics who stood up. I bet he's just, you know, wormed his way in somehow. Some
selfish bastard is what I'm calling.
Yeah,
he's a selfish jackass. Get your shit together.
Yeah, I think that's just low classless.
Keep it to yourself. Keep that bullhorn in your pants or whatever the hell you keep that.
Yeah.
Nah, it was a joke. I mean, she was startled. It was cute, though. But no, they just jumped.
But she came
on.
Back. She came back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's out there. She's running, huh?
Hey, I think it would be great to have a female president.
I like Hillary.
You know, I've lived with a female prime minister, and everything that you think about a woman, you know, the typical... You know, I think a typical man would think that, oh, she's going to be soft and she's not going to be able to make decisions and so on and so forth.
Not her.
Not her. You know, she's a strong kick, but woman.
Been around.
And also she's been married to, you know, Bill Clinton. So she's learned a lot. So yeah, I think the timing could be really right, because with all these Republicans not wanting equal pay and equal rights, equality for women, whew, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot if they don't address that. Because us women...
us women, we could tell by the daytime talk shows.
Yeah,
who goes to these shows, who's watching these shows. No, women are powerful.
Right.
No doubt. No, she's going to be... Well, I'd be curious to see what the Republicans do.
Yeah. And, maybe they'll...
It's going to be an interesting one.
They'll pull Mitt Romney out from somewhere.
Oh, the dust off? Cobwebs?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No.
What about Christie?
No.
Really?
No,
I don't know. They've been grooming him. He dropped some weight.
He's
not taking those helicopters anymore.
No. No, I think he kind of the whole freeway debacle and
he said a few
kind of a little bit dishonest.
I haven't lived in Jersey
there
in so long, so I don't even know what the heck's going on over there, but
I think they need to find someone. I think the person I'm scared of the most, or who I think is really I think scary is a way to describe him, is Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan is scary in a bad way for you, or in a
good
way?
Yeah, in a bad way.
In a bad way.
There's something about him that's, to me, just inherently not good.
Evil.
Yeah.
You're feeling it.
I'm sorry, but
not that familiar with him.
Well, he was on the ticket with Romney, wasn't he? So but some of his speeches and just his eye contact, I was like, you're not a good person.
Eerie.
Ooh, eerie, yes.
I feel it. It's all how you feel. Well, this guy wasn't feeling too good when they yanked him out with a damn bullhorn. I hope they popped him a few. On that note, let's go to Movie Monday.
Yay!
I love this. So here we go. The Judge.
All right. The Judge.
The Judge.
With Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall.
There was a good cast, right? But let me just say a few things here before we get into the down and dirty. We're not going to jump to... Now, we give it a 1, 2, or 3 thumbs, peeps. You know that? Sometimes a half thumb. But, you know, Troy and I watched it separately. We didn't go together, right? But not sure what to think. You know, in the beginning, right out of the gate, Robert Downey Jr., he's Hank. I mean, he comes out, we're talking. I like the cinematography with Chicago in the background, because we come swooping into Chicago. He's this big-time attorney. Hey, my alma mater, Northwestern University. He went to Northwestern, got his law degree there. Well, the law school's actually downtown. I was up in Evanston. So it does take place in Chicago, beautiful city. Kind of has this, our buddy Hank here, you know, hotshot attorney. He's got the, perfect life of luxury, so to speak, with the beautiful wife and the beautiful car and the beautiful house. Kind of felt like I was listening to the Talking Heads, you know?
He's and all bad. Cute daughter.
Yeah. Oh, adorable, right? He's all badass. He's all badass. So at first you think, is this guy a jerk? Oh, is he a great family man? He does well. He provides. Daughter's adorable. I mean, his wife, she does a great job with that role. She's not on the screen for very long, right? She's solid.
I liked her, too. Yeah.
So it starts off, for me, it starts off a bit slow, and then it goes from, first to third gear, and then boom, we're into fifth gear. I mean, that's what I felt, Troy. And do you think it started? What did you think? Just the
I liked
general?
It. Well, they had to build up a background, a backstory, and give you the history. I thought it was good. I thought the pace was good.
Pace was good. Yeah, let's talk numbers. Talk about fifth, moving into fifth gear. It was in fifth place. It finished in fifth place, $13.3 million this past weekend, opening weekend. Right behind Gone Girl was first, right? The... Dracula was second. I don't want to see Dracula.
Over all of that Dracula stuff. Yeah.
Alexander the Boy, who has the ridiculously horrible, ridiculously bad, whatever day.
Yeah.
He was third, and Annabelle was fourth. So these guys came in fifth. I would say not great numbers. It did open on October 10th, It was set a $50 million budget, pretty big size budget, drama, R-rated. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes. It definitely is a long movie. It doesn't feel that long, though.
No.
Big city lawyer, Hank Palmer. He returns to his childhood, where his father, who's another big-time judge, well, suspected a murder, and Hank seeks the truth. At the same time, he struggles to reconnect, and I like that word, struggles to reconnect with his estranged family along the way.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean,
You did like it.
Yeah, good father and son relationship, and just the knock-on effect of if things go awry, you know, in your childhood, how they fuel you, how...
Years later.
Yeah, and if you don't deal with your issues early on, there's a way that they come back.
They all come back
until you deal with them.
They kind of fester in their own way.
Yeah, they fester, but they resurface. They manifest themselves in a different way. So you have to deal with it.
Yeah, there was a great cast. Robert Duvall. Well, we know that. He was awesome. I really liked him in this. Robert Downey Jr., she said, Vera Farmiga. All I'm going to say is this. I love her, first of all.
Oh, I've always loved her. She's 41 years old, and gorgeous. Right?
Oh, my God. And that scene, I'm going to say, is the broken glass. The one after that. I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really no sex in this movie, but she was amazing with it. Billy Bob Thornton, how about as Dwight Dickham?
I love
He's got the right name for the dickhead guy, but he's really not too bad of a guy.
No.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, holy cow, did he swallow a beach ball or what happened to him? He had too many pies. Too many pies. Hey, Vincent, my man, I used to love him in whatever that detective show he was in.
Law and Order.
Law and Order, yeah, he was awesome. But yeah, he's definitely gotten bigger. I think it was well cast, though. How about Jeremy Strong? He's the guy who played the brother.
Loved Jeremy Strong.
Yeah, Ken Howard was in there. You see, Ken, the judge, he was the SAG, president of SAG for years, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Emma Tremblay. She's the little girl. She was in Elysium. You ever see Elysium?
No. Is that the Matt Damon?
Yes. Yeah. That's a really good movie. So she was in that. Leighton Meester's in this. Is the girl at the bar.
I like her. I thought that was really cool. I liked her role. I thought she was really good.
It was good. It was a dysfunctional. Yeah, they talk about that. You see this. It's a dysfunctional family. There's tragedy, particular incidents that define the character of these people. It really does. But like I said, Vera, I loved her. Loved her even better than Up in the Air. Remember she was with Clooney?
Yeah.
But this one, she's super sexy. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm like thinking, wow, you should not go for these 40-year-old women.
Oh. But, well, she was in something with Paul Walker, I think. And I just remember her being on top of a washing machine.
No kidding.
And going at it.
She's awesome, I'm telling you.
She's so good.
She really is. And I love that scene. It's hard.
Yeah, she's subtle.
She's subtle and she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's strong. She's a very strong actress, that's for sure. Well, I mean, heartfelt at least 6 or 7 times. You get this really good, right? Good feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was one time that I felt like, oh, that could have been an ending.
The ending.
But then I felt like, I get it. They need to neaten it up and, you know, tie it in a bow and really finish it off, which I think they did nicely. But I did think there was a kind of false ending as well.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Duvall was excellent creating these scenes with emotion. In terms of the ending, though, by the way, I'm going to say this because I always try to guess, right? And in the courtroom, I guessed both decisions correctly. Even though it wasn't that predictable, right?
No,
I wouldn't say it's a predictable film, but I happened to guess them both. I don't know. I just felt that was happening. It was funny. Remember, there was many times it was funny.
Yeah. Well, Robert Downey Jr., he has a distinct style of acting, and humor is definitely part of it.
He always brings
a humor to a character. And you know what? In life, everything is not all down, down, down. There are moments of where you laugh. It's the irony of it, you know?
Well, you should always find the irony, I think, in everything. I mean, even if it's a very, very harsh... I mean, you could look for the irony. That's what I love. The comedians make fun of things.
Yeah, they do. But he's playing a regular character, isn't he? Just a normal character. And I thought that it was a nice choice. Nice acting choice to bring that humor.
I like his humor, right? There's a thread through him with the humor. Even the brother with the handicap, that was humorous. The kid was...
He was great.
Humorous.
Yeah.
But I mean, even in that situation, disadvantaged guy, but it was funny.
Yeah,
it was weren't funny. Laughing at him. You're no, never you laughing. Weren't. That's what I think. If there's humor in any situation, you're not laughing at like this little girl.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of humorous that the girl that survived. I mean, this guy landed on top. You're talking about like found the pocket of air. I mean, think about it. That's kind of quirky.
Right.
In a way, it's like, you know, it's kind of funny that it happened that way.
Yeah.
Got to look for the humor, but sad. But you're kind of always hoping for a breakthrough in this movie, right, with everybody, all the characters.
I think they got a breakthrough, didn't they? You don't think Vincent?
Well, they do. They do. They're always looking for it.
Roberto, they kind of, you know. I think they did. I think they
each in their own way come. Yeah. Well, I think
they resolve. I mean, even the penultimate scene.
Yeah, the penultimate
when
scene.
When he's back
true.
In mm-hmm. Chicago. With the other, with the defense attorney.
Oh, right.
And
oh,
how
I see what you're
I groomed, yep, groomed her for 6 weeks and blah, 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 blah. I mean, right, I don't want to give too much of the story away.
I like that.
But I think that the way that they handled that, the exposition there, I thought was great.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm thinking about that. Would that actually happen? Well, you know, it's true to life. This is definitely a film that's true to life.
And he was away for that amount of time.
He was away, right.
So they had an opportunity to prep. And remember, his life, his world had changed because Vera Farmiga called him out.
She definitely called him out. I'll tell you, the relationship between him, the babe in the bar, which you'll see, it's kind of a weird twist of fate, but
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's another loose end that I'd like to see him wrap up at the end. They did not with the girl, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, but there's so many strands.
There are a lot of strands with this. Charming town, huh?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah,
holy cow. Missouri, was it? Indiana.
Indiana.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, there's no sex. There's no killings. There's no violence. There is a funeral. You know, this has been done before, right? We've seen this before where the funeral brings the family together. It's been done a thousand times, but this one, it's enjoyable. And like I said, his wife, you know, it was a quick scene, but yeah, there's resolution there too.
Oh yeah, when I saw her, I was like, ooh, Mrs.
I think he was doing the right thing, by the way. Do you with her?
Yeah,
he was taking out the machete.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
because a lot of time, he took out the machete and the shoe was on the other foot. I was maybe thinking, you got to check this out. Music's excellent.
Yeah.
How about this? Did you stay to the very end? I like reading the credits at the end, right?
I do. I stayed until unit production director.
Well, then that was Merle Haggard playing that cover, wasn't it?
Right.
I was like, wow. I was like listening, thinking, oh my God, I love the cover song, which is the last song when they start rolling the credits is really good. And I'll tell you, Robert Downey Jr., he's an excellent attorney. He plays a great attorney.
Yeah, he does.
Now, does this win awards, Troy?
I think Robert Duvall.
He gets the nod for sure, but
that scene in the bathroom was pretty. I think he played that so. I thought that was really well written. The writer, is it Dobkin?
Dobkin, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice. I thought that was a really good part.
So do you like him or do you like the writing? I mean, I like him getting a supporting actor role. Do you think he gets supporting actor? He's not lead.
No, supporting. Mm. I like that scene. Just that scene was just really good to me. Poignant scene. And even with Robert Downey Jr., both of them. I mean, you think about that scene and how vulnerable that character is at that moment.
No, that's a great scene.
You know,
he's got a lot
really
of great scenes.
That's a really good scene.
If you like Robert Duvall, you got to see this. This is a must see. Yeah, even Robert Downey, but more Robert Duvall. I'm telling you, he shined. I don't think Robert Downey's going to be winning awards for this.
No.
Vera.
But he produced it, so you know they get a
If
Robert Duvall gets nod, then it goes to the Downies anyway.
I think he gets the nod. I'm betting on that. And Vera, I don't know if that role had it didn't have a lot of colors.
No.
She was really good, but it was kind of one dimensional.
Yeah.
And really, here's some themes. Family means something.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Right? Mend old wounds.
Yeah.
Right? That's
forgiveness.
A good one. Forgiveness. Death is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. How about this? Home Sweet Home. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And speaking of Home Sweet Home, I'll give a shout out to my Aunt Phil. It's her birthday today. Aunt Happy Phil, birthday, she's awesome.
Aunt Phil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And speaking of home, so they're back home. And, yeah, my friend Sin, she's probably listening, too. But, no, it kind of gives you that feeling of you can always go. I think of the Bon Jovi song, you know, you can always go home. Well, that was a good one. I don't think there's any sequel, right, Troy?
No.
No.
No. No, no, no.
No, no. And so what do you think? Thumbs. I'm going. You go. Well, you go first.
I'm going to give it two.
Two thumbs. So do I.
Yeah, I give
two
it two.
Thumbs.
Yeah.
It's I not two it, and a half.
I thought it was solid.
Solid.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Solid movie. Solid. Very worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely worthwhile.
Do you see it again in the theater or do you...
I would see it again on television.
Me too.
For sure.
Me too.
Yeah, I would.
I'd wait for it to come around. It's a long one. I don't know if I want to sit through all those... I'll tell you what, the ads, the trailers. Let me tell you, Troy, I don't know if you'll be sitting in that seat come Christmas time. Who knows what the world brings for any of us, right? But I will say the movie I'm going to be watching on Christmas, American Sniper. Bradley Cooper.
Oh, see, I'm into Nightcrawler. I really want to see that.
You want to see Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched that trailer. I was like, wow. You got to see.
Yeah, American Sniper.
I was like, yeah, well, it's another war movie.
Yeah, and it's too close to what we're experiencing now on a daily basis. I don't know if I can go and see that just yet. You know, it's a little bit too close for comfort. That scene is being played out as we speak.
Well, that's true.
And so that's I don't true. Need to see that at Christmas time. I really don't.
But Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper, I don't know.
Yeah, they're great actors, but I don't need to see that.
You don't need to see that. Oh, no. Geez. So if we do the Fury for next week, do you not want to see that? I was going to do Brad Pitt's. I'm already thinking of next week. We'll see. You're like, yeah. Well, we'll have to evaluate that, see what's coming up.
Yeah, I'll see it.
You're not a big movie. Well, you don't want to see things that are happening in society today.
Yeah, that's too close. The Fury isn't. That's not. Is that World War II?
World War II.
Yeah, that's.
Okay, you're okay with that. Yeah, I guess you're right. The Sniper. I don't know. That
Sniper
trailer,
movie was pretty intense.
Pretty real. Yeah. I was like, oh, what's he going to do in that trailer? Well, anyway, check it out. But both Troy and I give it two thumbs up. The Judge, we liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely worth seeing in the theater. Respect your theater goers too, peeps. You know, Troy, remember last time the guy next to you, he didn't have any problems this week, Troy?
This week I didn't have any problems whatsoever.
Smooth sailing.
Smooth
sailing. Just like
sailing.
Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, right? Well, on that note, let's whip it all over. Now, we had this conversation. I was talking with Shannon last week. She's another guest host that comes in from time to time. Hey, Shannon, couldn't make it to... I don't know if she'll be here this week, but we're talking quality versus quantity. And Troy and I are just going to talk for 5 minutes about fitness, about keeping it quality versus quantity, and what do you do on your day off? So, Troy, why don't you start us off? What did you do? Did you work out today yet? I say yet because we're only, what, almost 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I like to do all my workouts early morning, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when
I holidays, do they mean anything for you in terms of fitness workouts?
No, I like to work out on holidays, especially if it's a holiday. Columbus Day, not so much because I'm not really celebrating it as a holiday, so I'm not eating any extra calories or, you know. But if it's Thanksgiving, definitely want to do a workout.
I think you should work out every... Holidays are the best days to get your workout.
I think working out every day is good... Anyway, that's part of my routine. I'm not one of those who has to be motivated to work out. I love to work out. It makes me feel good. It's time spent on my own doing something for me. So, yeah, I love to work out.
Of course. Yeah. Everybody knows my story. To me, working out's an extension of sleep. So if I sleep 6-7 hours a night, I got to work out at least an hour. I was teaching as a young 20-year-old gal in my gym. I was talking to you the other day about that concept. Hey, you have to treat it like that. 15 minutes equals 1% of your life. I'm 5, 6, 8 minutes a day, whatever. If I get to 2 hours, I'm happy. But that's a lot. But if you could do 15, 30 minutes. But here, let me do this because Muscle and Fitness, I checked out their website real quick this morning, and they give you 5 holiday tips for staying shredded. Well, they're all about staying shredded, but these are kind of cool. We'll say what they are. These are 5. Keep your routine. I believe that. I don't think I'd take off a day. That's bullshit. You don't need to take off your holidays.
No.
No, especially if you're going to be consuming more calories, as you said.
Right.
Right. So stick with your workout. Great way to get in there. The gym's a little lower tempo. I felt that. Mm. I'm teaching a yoga class tonight, so hopefully we'll see these peeps in the class and not you know, sitting by the pool, although it is the last 90-degree day here. Number two on the list was, check it out, fill up on your veggies and lean protein. Okay, but it's a holiday, but holiday schedules, you could still eat well.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I think we need to stop making excuses to eat bad food. Why?
Right. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
And quantity of food. Portion control is number three. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. This, honestly, everyone needs to go to Europe because they would just freak out
at the amount of food that we consume on it. Right. Yes. One meal. And this was, you weren't here last week, but how this came about was I retweeted this porn star, Chanel Preston. And no kidding. Cosmo did a thing on porn stars and what they're eating, and she'd let them. It's like 7 days of exactly what she ate, when she ate it, how much she ate, and it was all quality. I mean, kale soup and gluten-free this, and the girl's like, wow. I mean, the girl's got a great diet, but she didn't eat a lot, twice a day, maybe 2.5 times a day like me, and quality. Keep it quality. It's the same thing with your workouts. It's all quality, people. All right, how about number four? It says here, be the life of the party, but in the fine print, it's like without getting wasted. So you could still be the life of the party, right, without being a bozo who's all wasted.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said earlier, I went to Howl in the Moon. Well, I'm not a big drinker, so it wasn't about that. It was about, you know, you feed off the energy of other people as well. And it was about the camaraderie of your friends or the people that you meet up with. That's what having fun is, and having a good party, having a dance. You know, I don't think this whole getting wasted thing, I'm like, do you know what your liver has to do to process the, you know, the alcohol and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I could go on. But yes, a drink here and there is fine. But going specifically to get wasted?
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation. But, well, I mean, if you want to get wasted, but be safe. Obviously, don't drink and drive.
Never drink and drive.
Shannon, are you listening? Shannon had a DUI.
No.
She was sitting there talking about it. Can't on Santa Monica Boulevard. Forget about it.
The thing about it is you can just kill someone. You know,
what people don't. I mean, I used to do that. I mean, you can't do that. You can't be drinking and driving because of what's happening out on the street. It's not so much you. I mean, you kind of take it upon yourself knowing that, if something happens to me, a lot of people do that. I used to, when you're drinking.
It's like texting, though. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
People are just think about, oh, it's just me. I'm endangering me. But no, actually, if you go off the road, invariably you take somebody else out, which means you're endangering them, too. So yeah, and with all these car services, you've got Uber, we've got Lyft, you've got regular old taxis. There are plenty of ways to get home safely for everybody.
Many, many options. So don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid and don't get wasted.
Keep your shit together, especially on a day like today. It's a Monday. Now you got to keep it real. And number five, well, this is most important, which you got to be doing every day, stay hydrated.
Yes.
No kidding. Water. Yes. Drink a lot of water. Everybody. I mean, that should be the primary what you're drinking on a daily basis. So I asked this girl, this 20-year-old, she goes, you don't drink any soda? I said, nah, soda, what for? Yeah, you don't need soda. I mean, okay, great. I mean, you want to buy soda once a year, twice a year? That's cool. You drink soda?
No.
No.
No. And if I do drink soda, then I always look for the old-fashioned kind with real sugar. I do not consume anything with high fructose.
The old-fashioned way, Troy.
Yeah. Sugar is 16 calories a teaspoon. Really? Hmm. And people are...
They're whacked out about it.
Well, they're whacked out about it. So they use all these sweeteners and so on and so forth. And basically, scientists are showing that these sweeteners are doing us a lot of damage, not only because our bodies can't process them, but when your body wants sugar, it wants sugar. It doesn't want a replacement. It doesn't want a sweetener. So when you consume a sweetener, your body still wants sugar. So you're consuming more sugar calories or sugary foods because your brain is telling you you haven't had sugar because you are eating sweet and low or, you know, all the other replacements. So eat the sugar. and deal with those calories.
Eat the sugar, scratch the itch.
Right, and eat the sugar and run, you know, and burn off the 16 calories. You know what I mean? It's, well, you know.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
Guys, got to keep it real. You got to keep yourself working out every single day.
Keep it real. Keep it real. Real sugar.
Real sugar. Keep it real, no matter what you do. Lean and mean. Quality versus quantity.
And less sugar.
And less sugar, right. Sugar. Sodium, sugar. I look at the three. I look at sodium. I look at sugar content. Anything I buy. I look at the back of the bag. Yeah. I look at it. Yeah. Because it's the little bit. I mean, the sugar's low. Keep the sodium low. Keep the calories low.
Right.
Those three things. For the most part.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the least expensive brands are the ones with the least amount of those ingredients because they cost money.
Right.
Preservatives and whatnot. But hey, good show today, Troy.
No.
I know. It comes quick. Can you believe it? It comes quick.
No.
So, hey, everybody. This is a good one. Troy and I reviewed The Judge. If you want to see it or listen to it again, want to see it. Wow. We're not on any TV channels yet, but check it out in the archives. It's latalkradio.com/Tola Talks. So what do you think, Troy? You back next? Well, you got a lot of stuff cooking on your plate, but...
Yeah, I'm going to be in New York on Wednesday.
You're going to be in New York this Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How long? A couple of days?
Just the weekend. We're doing Frozen. That was the play.
No kidding.
Yeah, we're doing a reading for a producer, so hopefully it'll be on off Broadway next
Tremendous.
Year.
Tremendous. Oh, so, my God, that's awesome.
Flying into New York.
So you won't be here next Monday.
No, I'll be here.
Oh, you will be here. Oh, yes. Okay. Like, woof, she'll be back.
I'll be back.
All right. Yes. We're going to see Troy next Monday. And, well, hey, guys, I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.